Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Marion, for that music. Bring us into this time of worship. Let's take our blue book and turn to the song, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. It's number 42. Number 42. Apparently, according to my research, this is the oldest of all the English psalm versions, and apparently 50 years older than the translation of the King James Bible, so it's definitely connecting us to the Reformation time, and also, of course, as a paraphrase of Psalm 100, it connects us to the people of Israel and God's people. Let's stand and sing all verses of All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Welcome to this morning's Sunday worship service on a beautiful, frosty Sunday morning. This morning's call to worship, I will read a few lines, and I didn't print anything, because it's time to get your nose out of the books and paper. So you will follow when I cue. Your line is, "You are welcome." If you are delighted to be here, and if you are tired or troubled,
you are welcome.
If your faith is strong, and if your faith is bettered or frail,
you are welcome.
If you are eager to praise God, and if you need to be quiet,
you are welcome.
God welcomes us all to worship today and promises to meet us here. Let's pray. Holy God, you call us together to reflect on your word and our life in your world. Be with us now as we sing and pray together that we may hear your voice and understand your way. This we pray through Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for that. And let's sing our song, Jesus Shall Reign. And that's number 319, Jesus Shall Reign. And this is a paraphrase of Psalm 72. Now, we don't read every psalm for every occasion, and this one is a paraphrase because it puts Jesus in the place of the word God. Let's stand, please.
Oh,
Thanks for that great singing. You might have noticed the last verse. It says, every creature should bring their peculiar honors. Remember the first time I heard peculiar honors? My research is kind of old now, but I'm pretty sure that means unique in this case. So everybody should bring their own new unique honors to the Lord. We all have different gifts. Next song is All Beautiful, the March of Days, 159. This is kind of a song partly of the seasons, but does definitely acknowledge the winter time. So let's sing the three stanzas. All Beautiful, the March of Days.
Ushers to come forward. We are going back to passing the plates around this morning. Turn back time a few years. Let's bless the offering. O Lord, giver of life and source of freedom, we know that all we've received is from your hand. You call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and to teach us to share them generously. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, 216 in our blue book, written by Charles Wesley, who used poetry to try to convey in 1700s his view of the faith. He's really thinking about the inner light. If you notice in the end of first stanza, day star in my heart appear, or the last line of the second stanza, till the inward light impart. And when we're reading poetry, we often just like, we don't need to get it, we can just enjoy it, but like it says, Christ whose glory fills the skies. Well, look around, I see a lot of sky, and you have to really kind of think, well, is Christ, is that what he's talking about? So we're thinking, like, what does he mean? He's using a lot of metaphors. And then he talks about the sun of righteousness triumphing over the shades of night. So shades of night, well, at night, it's not really, we're not really talking about night. We're talking about righteousness and evil and so forth. And so when you're singing this, try to think of a little bit here and there what he might be talking about. Let's stand and we'll sing all three stanzas.
Good morning. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1:1-9. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God that is in this Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every place called on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by him. You were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Step aside. The whole time that I was working with this title from the beginning of the week, and I kept trying to remember the phrase in Low German that, oh, a number of people have said to me, well, yes, to me and to others in my hearing, like, get out of my way. You know what it is. I'm not going to try and repeat it. I've said once I have it in my head and then I say it again and again. Oh, then it's very useful. And people look at me and it's like, what? You know what that means? Step aside, out of my way, really. However, I don't want you to think about it in that way. Stepping aside in this reference means I will take myself and step aside. I myself will step out of the way. Step aside. And sometimes we use it in a way that means I'm really going to quit something, but I don't want to say I'm quitting. I will step aside and allow other things to happen. It's a euphemism. Today, I want us to think about this stepping aside as an opportunity and really as a necessity. This is not a bad thing. It's something we need to do. And I'm going to use three of the references from the lectionary. It just so happened that they come together around this one idea. The passages, one of them is the one that Anna read, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 9. Another passage is John 1, verse 29 to 42. And another one is Isaiah 49. So if you want to check those later on in the week, you've got plenty of time. How dare I say you have plenty of time? I mean, throughout the week at some point, you can look up these scriptures as you are led and see if they actually do coalesce around this idea of stepping aside. The urgency of this stepping aside, though, the necessity of it and the demonstration of it is by John the Baptist. And we'll sort of, you know, touch on a little bit of what he said. But after the stepping aside, what happens? Why am I stepping aside? Why do I need to do that? If I step aside, who is going to deal with all of the things that I take care of? Who is going to fulfill my ministry if I step aside? How will things get done? Things are going to fall apart if I don't take care of things. However, the scriptures say there is no lack. You are going to be full of the knowledge of Christ and spiritual blessings and spiritual gifts. There's no lacking in anything when you step aside and allow the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we were in any other church, everyone here would have leapt to their feet, raised their hands and said, Hallelujah! Stepping aside and realizing, and I know you would say it too, you would, because I know you believe it. And the simple reminder that our whole reason for being is to allow the revelation of Jesus Christ in our day and age, in our society, day by day. When I take myself out of the way and we wait for and expect Jesus Christ to be revealed. And you say, but how? Because if I step aside, no one is going to do this. No one is going to reveal Jesus Christ the way I do, especially since I am called. I am speaking a little bit sarcastically because I'm speaking to myself. And I know the arguments that I would sometimes make. However, when we step aside and wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ, we also wait in expectation with our eyes wide open, looking. Where is Jesus being revealed all around me, in the people around me, in the events around me? And when I see it, because I'm expecting it, and I see it, then I testify to it. I say, look what I saw. I saw this happening. I have seen it. I understand it. Or maybe I don't understand it, but I've still seen it and I get to talk about it. So we give the testimony. And our calling is to give this testimony when Jesus is revealed in so many different ways on a daily basis in our lives and others. And where does this happen? How does this happen? How does it come about? Through the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And some of you will feel let down and say, oh, it's so much easier to be a believer and to be strong and to be witnessing on my own. I'm more of an independent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm independent. I have my own party. We are called into the fellowship, and that is the final verse in the Corinthians passage. Called into the fellowship. And in verse 10, it says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, no divisions, be united," and. Read that later. I don't want you to read that as a list of instructions right now. I want us to be able to recognize, where are the problems in my stepping aside? What stops me? What keeps me from stepping aside? And then maybe what keeps me from seeing when Jesus is actually revealed? As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've practiced waiting through Advent. We'll practice waiting through Lent. Christianity is all about waiting. But before the waiting even happens, when the calling happens, I, Paul, called to be an apostle. You're called, and not only you, Paul. This is his identity. Paul recognizes, I am called, and I can say I am called. It's not pride. Called to be an apostle. And when I was in seminary, I told one of my professors, how silly of me, but I did, told my professor that someone else had said I was gifted. It wasn't me, myself. I wasn't tooting my own horn. I just mentioned this, I think, to convince her because I didn't think she really saw me appropriately. But then when she heard that I told her that I was gifted, according to this other professor, she said, "You're all gifted." Oh, well, that was a hole in my balloon. There went my ego, really. It was. And I have forgotten most of what I've learned in seminary, but I haven't forgotten that. Maybe that was what I needed to learn more than anything else and continue to relearn. And maybe it's what we all need to continue to learn. Called, yes, we are called. And here Paul even says, all, called, all of us, called to be saints, verse 2, together with all, does it say that in your Bible? Maybe not that way. All of those who in every place, and I'm emphasizing this to recognize this is universal. God is calling all people in every place. And we sang songs like that. We're not so special. But this calling then, what happens? And John the Baptist, flip to John. John chapter 1, if you want to. And there is another person who is called. John the Baptist was called and specially born. And I'm sure his mother would have told him, oh, the story of how wonderful he was, such a special child, waited for and longed for. Any of you have that story from your parents? Or have you told your children that story and you start to feel super special? And John the Baptist then, well, called, of course, he goes out and he starts doing his ministry. But what happens as soon as you are called? In comes the cavalry. They were sent, Jews sent, priests and Levites. Another verse says, sent from the Pharisees in John chapter 1. That's verse 19 and verse 24. Sent to what? Sent to question. And here is a weapon that is used so many times throughout the scripture, definitely against Jesus all the time, They're coming to question him. Question, question, question. Think to yourself, when was the last time that I used the tool of questioning as a weapon to poke holes in someone else's story or their sense of self or their duties, what they're doing? When was the last time I weaponized questioning? Seems odd, doesn't it? Because it seems, as a question, it seems like I'm coming from a humble place. Oh, I was just wondering. And I hear that in myself, too. I've bludgeoned another person with the question. Simple question. It was just a question. Oh, I'm just asking. And then I get myself off the hook. And here we see it. They're trying to question John. What are you doing? Who sent you? Why do you do this? On and on. And it's so obvious in the scriptures, and yet it's not quite as obvious when we who are called together in the fellowship of Jesus Christ use the same tool on each other. Questioning. Bullied. Cajoled. Attacking. This is not fellowship. John says, I am waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, the person that I'm speaking about is, he came after me. And already there's the demonstration of John the Baptist stepping aside. The person who came after me. Oh, you come after me. Get to the back of the line. Get out of my way. No, it's a different way of being. Recognizing I'm going to pull myself out of the way, and the one who is coming after me is actually greater than me. And we know those scripture references in the New Testament, like think of others as better than yourself. Well, John was speaking of Jesus, and so it was obvious Jesus is above John. But can we use that same idea, the same approach to one another, and step aside and really see others and their ministry and their testimony as better than my own? He said, I didn't even know who it was, this one coming after me. I didn't know him. And when we're questioning, we are the ones who know. The questioner usually knows. Isn't that like teachers? And I can say this because I've been a teacher for a lot of years. Teachers always think they know everything. And you carry that throughout your life. I'm sorry, teachers. Maybe you are good teachers, not like me. I recognize my own part in this. Questioning others. But step aside. Like John, he stepped aside and he says, I didn't even know, but I come and I baptize with water. What's water? Water is nothing. But I was called to do this. And so I do it. And I know something better is coming. He's waiting for that revelation. So maybe you're looking at your own task and you're thinking, oh, it's nothing. I'm just working with water here. I'm just tying some quilts here. I'm just doing, sweeping the floor here. What is that? But step aside and wait for Jesus Christ to be revealed. Look for it. Expect it, waiting for it, and you will lack nothing. Corinthians promises that, not lacking any spiritual gifts. You're not going to lose out. I feel like if I step aside, I'm going to lose a part of who I am. I will lose the respect of everyone, the adulation, the position. I don't know what it is. And we all have our different things that we feel we're going to lose out. But Paul says to the Corinthians, you're not going to lose out. You're not going to lack anything. Isaiah 49 says, my cause is with the Lord. My reward is with God. How could I lack anything then? All those songs we sang about the God who makes all of this frost, his glory fills the skies. So many things. How could I lack anything when I'm waiting for his revelation? My reward is with my God. And then God says something really super cool. He says, is it such a big deal for me to watch out for Israel? Is that enough? That task is too light. I am going to call and look out for and draw in all people, all nations, just like in the Corinthians passage. All being called. We're not going to lack anything. Being enriched in the knowledge of every kind so that he might be revealed. It's counterintuitive. We want to be enriched. Feel like we need to take, and yet Jesus says, and Jesus demonstrated, Paul writes, John writes, and demonstrates, step aside and you will lack nothing. And then when Jesus is revealed, then we can testify. And John says, I saw it. I saw it myself. I didn't know who he was. I just came out here baptizing with water, and then I saw it. I saw the dove resting on Jesus. I saw it. What is it that we have seen? What have you seen lately? What have you been noticing lately? What have we been looking for? Because when we are so busy standing at the front of the line, you don't see anybody behind you. And when we're so busy poking holes in other people's position with the questions, peppering them with questions, we don't get to see the revelation, even seeing the revelation from these other people in their ministry. Step aside and wait for that revelation, and then we can testify to it. Then we can speak out and say, I saw it. And this testimony, you know, I'm supposed to end on a high note. It's also what the professors kept saying to us when you're preaching. You know, you can go down at the beginning and then you go up, and always leave them on an up. And for some of you, this might be an up. The testimony and the revelation comes in the fellowship. In the fellowship. So even those of us who are so keen on seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ, absolutely, and then to be able to testify to that revelation, absolutely. And where is that testimony made and done and seen and revealed? In our fellowship. In our fellowship. So it's a big deal when that fellowship breaks down, falls apart. Whatever words you want to use for that, it's a big deal. Because these other things, this revelation of Jesus Christ, and then the testimony that we have for the way Jesus is and acting in our midst is right there in the fellowship of the believers. We are waiting for the revealing. We testify that he is the Son of God, and we do that through our fellowship. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lois, for bringing us what you have experienced to be called to say this week. Lots of food for thought. 367 is the song for the healing of the nations, and I want to propose our prayer, which is what this poem is, that when we step aside, we want to pledge something. We have a purpose. And the last line of the first stanza, I think, when we're stepping aside or whatever we're doing, we're praying to God, to a life of love in action, help us rise and pledge our word. So we are trying to focus on a life of love in action. I invite you to stand.
Oh,
Please bow for the benediction. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, number 582. And as we started this song, this service, all people that on earth do dwell, we are connecting again with Jehovah, one of the names for God in the Old Testament, and it's a prayer. Podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.